This is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news. The IRS wants to spy on your bank account.
Keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever. This is Sekulow. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Okay, just when you thought it couldn't get any more crazy, and then we're talking about the IRS. So, you know, talking about weaponizing the IRS, our friend Mike Pompeo is going to be with us later, by the way, said that Joe Biden wants to weaponize the IRS in order to spy on your bank account. Well, you remember, I was involved in that hearing just, was that about 2 weeks, about two weeks ago, I guess, that we had that hearing on Capitol Hill with House Ways and Means Committee on this issue of, you know, any transactions in your account that equate to $600, the IRS can get information from your bank as to exactly what it was. Now, that sounds totally absurd because it is. This is without a warrant. This is without probable cause. This is with nothing. They could just say, they just start looking at your account. Well, that hearing, which, I mean, I said this to our team this morning, evidently got a lot more attention than we thought it did, Logan, I guess, because now they're backpedaling, but their new proposal, frankly, is just as absurd.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, like I was getting text messages and calls last night from my friends who were just confused because how did it go from 600 to now the idea is 10,000? And what does that actually mean? Because it all is caught up in the nuance.
Yeah, and it's there is no nuance. So here's what it is. Before it was a $600 transaction, that transaction itself could be subject to an IRS review with no probable cause, no warrant, no nothing. Then they said, well, because of the outcry, and we were, remember, on that in that testimony, I dealt with that, and like I said, it got a lot more attention than we thought it would. And they said, no, now we're going to increase it to $10,000. But then we find out, Andy, it's not $10,000 in a one-time transaction, which is the old, if you put in cash or take out cash of $10,000, there was a report to the IRS. By the way, that $10,000 number was in 1970. The present value calculation of that $10,000 now, if it was keeping up with inflation, would have been a $70,000 payment. But now they're saying, well, it's $10,000, so that's not like every account, but it's cumulative. It's not a one-time payment. It's over the course of a year. So that course, they could look at anything.
Well, absolutely they can. And this is an invasion of privacy that is unheard of, in my opinion, in the annals of the Internal Revenue Service's already abusive misuse of power. Here you've got an agency which will add 87,000 agents if they're going to do this. That's the number that I heard. And what they will be doing is basically saying this. I have a contract between me and my bank with respect to my bank account. Without any probable cause, without any reasonable suspicion, without anything but the desire to snoop and to see what you're doing, they aggregate the amounts of transactions. And if it comes up with $10,000, they make the bank report it so they can snoop and see and spy on you.
Yes.
They have no business doing that, in my opinion.
Harry, we know from personal experience representing the conservative groups what happens when the IRS has unchecked power.
Absolutely.
Dangerous, the most dangerous agency.
So they can be unleashed without a warrant, without probable cause, to look at your data. So keep this in mind. The average family of four spends approximately $1,400 a month on food. That is $16,000 a year. That exceeds the $10,000 a year threshold that the IRS would receive under the legislation proposed by the Democrats. This means potentially that Susan Rice, AOC and Elizabeth Warren would have access to information about your income and your transactions, and this empowers the IRS to have full-blooded control over each and every transaction in your daily life.
Unbelievable. Incredible encroachment. We're going to get into this in great detail, Logan.
Yes, absolutely. Give us a call right now, 1-800-684-3110. If you have any questions about this, the current status of the IRS, give us a call again, 1-800-684-3110.
I would sure love to hear from people that have had to deal with the IRS before. I bet there's one or two out there. And how do you feel about them now being able to look at everything in your basically checking account? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. By the way, you think we're taking this by doing nothing? Nope. We're going to find out all about it, and we're going to fight back. Back with more in just a moment.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back. So we got senior Democrats in Congress have agreed to raise their proposed tax reporting threshold from banks from $600 to $10,000. Now that sounded like, okay, well, that's a little bit more reasonable because they want to get, quote, high net worth individuals. Problem is, it's not $10,000 one-time transaction, which everybody's confusing that with the cash requirement that everyone, if you pull out $10,000 worth of cash in 1970, by the way, there would have report was then generated to the IRS, which would be $70,000 in today's value. So it's a completely different scenario. Here it's $10,000. People say, oh, $10,000. First of all, I don't think the IRS should have unfettered access to your account for any amount of money, not $10, without probable cause. It's your money in a bank. I mean, let's think about this for a moment. Why are we giving the IRS this authority? And the $10,000 isn't $10,000 transactional. It's $10,000 over the course of the year. And Harry, as you just said, you're talking about basically grocery money.
Absolutely. So consider this. Janet Yellen has gotten rich, and her net worth now exceeds $20 million. How did she make her wealth? She cashed in after working for the Federal Reserve, and her net worth, as I indicated earlier, is worth more than $20 million. And now, through this legislation, she will be empowered to go after the average working Exactly. man and woman in the United States on the theory that those individuals are high net worth individuals. This makes no sense. Nope. It is one step in the direction, I would argue, of moving toward a police state.
Absolutely.
I mean, you have people who make $10,000 a year doing a lot of different things, whether especially for the last in 2020, whether that was the gig economy that a lot of people had to go through, or Uber driving or anything like that. $10,000
over the course,
over the course of the year, a lot of people, most people I'd say that work on that scale are doing that online transaction.
I'd say most of the American populace would fall within this. But here's
especially with PayPal and Venmo and all those different options of paying
people. Here's where the nonsense is from the federal government. Today's new proposal, this is Janet Yellen, reflects the administration's strong belief that we should zero in on those at the top of the income scale who don't pay taxes they owe while protecting the American workers by setting the bank account threshold at $10,000, which is not what the amount is. It's $10,000 over the course of a year. It could be $800 a month to your rent, to your, I mean, so many different, I mean, I could think of 100 things, and providing an exemption for wage earners like teachers and firefighters. Now, Andy, I mean, they may think we're crazy here, and she's applauding this, but if you were going after the rich with loopholes, first of all, $10,000 wouldn't be the number over the course of a year.
No, it would not. I still fail to see how this measure, the $10,000 aggregate in the course of the year snooped by the IRS, I still fail to see and to appreciate how that is going to catch tax evaders. I don't see how that's going to happen. Someone needs to explain that to me because I don't understand that. I understand what happened with the cash transaction reports that you mentioned that went into effect 50 years ago. They didn't want drug dealers putting over $10,000 in cash in bank accounts and laundering the money. And when a bank saw you come in with $10,000 in cash that you were stupid enough to put into a bank account in order to launder it, then they made a CTR report about that. I understand that, but that's not what this is. And don't be fooled by thinking that that's what, oh, okay, now we're going to go back to that. That's not what this is. This is, as Harry Hutchison correctly pointed out, and Harry is always very just nuts and bolts, if you spend $1,400 a month on groceries, over a 12-month period of time, you're going to fall into the IRS net, and you're going to be part of the IRS's militant military analysis of you. That is ridiculous, and I still don't see how that catches tax evaders.
No, I don't either. I mean, I think that's where this whole this is just to get the government into your personal checking account. I'm not even talking about your savings account. They're going to be in your checking account. This is what's so absurd about what they're doing. We know what happens when the IRS gets unchecked power. It's not good. So, of course, the banks are, I'm glad they're objecting, and they've got a strong lobby, so maybe they can get it over the goal line here. But I will tell you, this proposal, and they think by moving it from $600 to $10,000, $600 one-time transaction, $10,000 over the course of a year, changes nothing. They think the American people are this far behind the eight ball on this? We're not.
All right, let's take some phone calls. And if you want to call in, 1-800-684-3110. Joe is calling on from Colorado online too. You're on the air, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Jay. How are you?
Great.
Good to see you guys. I had a confrontation with the IRS about 10 years ago, right after the collapse of the financial markets, yep. And lost my business and kind of battled through everything. And if people understood what this means, I don't think that they would have any idea to support it. Unfortunately, what I hear more times than not is, well, I've got nothing to hide. And what I learned quickly was that it doesn't matter what you have to hide or don't hide. They're going to take that data and they're going to twist it to tell whatever story they want to. And the IRS came after me in that moment. And 10 years ago, all of a sudden they showed up on my doorstep because I had faith convictions in my business. And they said that if I had faith, then I was a fraud. And if I believed in God, then that was fraudulent. And
well, they put don't feel so bad, Joe. They put that in writing to tax-exempt organizations now. They don't just say it. They actually put it in writing, as unbelievable as that is. How did yours end up?
As soon as all the stuff got kind of brought to light back in 2011, 12.
Well, that was exactly
when it came to light that they were pursuing everybody.
Yeah, so you got caught up in, because, you know, we represent, I think it was 42 in organizations, and I think we had 42 clients, but there were tens of thousands of groups that got caught up, and it sounds like you were one of them. And they were not just saying those kind of things like, oh, your faith in God or you believe in the Bible. They were actually putting this in writing. They still are. As soon as the Biden administration got into office, they did this. We just had a hearing on this. I did in the other studio the other day, which also had this thing about them IRS monitoring your checking accounts. So what happened to Joe, you wish you could say it was an anomaly. I'm handling one right now. I can't get into the details, and it's on a state level. But it's ridiculous. And now with the IRS, Andy, they say you cannot email them. You have to send it in, send your responses in by fax. Let's go to 1982. I remember we got our first fax machine at Rhodes-Haverty Building.
Yeah, the Rhodes-Haverty Building in Atlanta. Good luck on finding, by the way, a fax machine today in order to communicate with the IRS, because they won't talk to you any other way. But what has happened is now that you've got thousands and thousands of IRS revenue agents working from their home, and as someone, as we pointed out in our meeting before radio today, that means their children can look at your finances and by means of accessing their mother or their father's computer and find out exactly what you're doing. That's real secure.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I mean, we got into at the hearing, that we had at House Ways and Means, we got into the $600 threshold and what it means. I want to go back. It's a little flashback here.
How long? A couple of weeks ago.
This was 2 weeks ago.
Right, yeah.
How long ago was it, Will? 2 weeks ago. We're in the radio studio now. If you're watching us on our social media platforms, we're in our main radio studio. Next door is, what do we call that studio now?
Studio B, really. Yeah, I guess.
But we did this by, it was a hearing by Zoom, obviously. That's how they did the hearing. So we were in our setting there. I literally was in that studio. They were playing it. You were getting excerpts of it here. And then when I was done, I walked from that studio to this studio to tell you about it. But here's what was, let's go back and take a listen quick.
Just think of all the ways that you could catch Americans or frame Americans in many cases that would be available for $600 expenses.
Yeah, suspicious activity reports have become an industry unto themselves for the banks. Of course, the banks are regulated heavily, so they're scared to death anyways. But if they drop the $10,000 threshold amount to $600, every single American could be subject to this kind of monitoring with a complete lack of probable cause. It's not, in other words, this isn't a grand jury subpoena. This is just a regulatory matter.
Yeah, there's no probable cause. There's no warrant. There's no nothing. I mean, it's just the IRS get to the. And first of all, the banks don't want to do this because the paperwork involved in this would be outrageous. But the violations here, Harry, of civil liberties in and of itself is an outrage if this passes. And if it does pass, by the way, and is signed into law, if it does, we're challenging it because there is no due process here.
And you're absolutely right. And so we have a friend who has a successful YouTube account. I mean, he's not wealthy. But he makes $50,000 to $70,000 a year from this YouTube account. But he's also a conservative and a person of faith. And so I think at the end of the day, the IRS would then have the authority to go after each and every transaction he makes and then assess whether or not it's beneficial from the perspective of whom? The perspective of globalist elites who want to control each and every aspect of our lives. Yep. This, I think, is the first step in that direction.
So, Logan, you mentioned the phrase gig economy. When we come back from the break, because that's coming up in the conversation. We need to talk about where this
low
is coming
transaction,
from.
But probably high amount of transactions, but low-cost transactions to a lot of people. So, yeah, we can talk about that coming up and what it's been like the last couple of years for these people to deal with it now having – the flip-flopping of not understanding, I think, is going to be the big thing here. People who don't understand how it went from 600 to 10,000, but really doesn't mean 10,000. That's the discussion,
I
think.
$50.
That's the discussion that people really need clarification. If you want to call in, 1-800-684-3110, or put your comments in on Facebook and YouTube, we'll get to some of those as well.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
to the IRS pretty aggressively when they went after Tea Party groups, conservative groups, pro-life groups, religious groups. We went to court in two cases, one in Washington, D.C., another in Ohio, got monetary damages from the IRS, and the Ohio case got a very comprehensive order that the IRS consented to a consent decree in the case in Washington, D.C., where we went after the IRS. And as soon as the Biden administration came into power, they started doing exactly what they were not supposed to be doing. There they were targeting groups based on what their names were or what their positions were. And we had the call from Joe where he said, you know, they found out that his business had based on biblical principles. And all of a sudden he was, you know, basically challenged. And I said to Joe, they don't just say that. They put it in writing. Now this requirement that, you know, any $600 transaction has to be reported to the IRS by the banks, which, by the way, the banking associations say is a violation of privacy. I'll read that in a moment. But then they said, well, no, we'll increase it to $10,000. But it's not $10,000. It's not the $10,000 if you take cash out in one transaction or put cash in that would go to the IRS report. That was in 1970s to stop money laundering and drug deals from not being reported. Okay, that $10,000 would be $70,000 today, actually, if they actually kept the loss current, which they don't, of course, when it comes to the IRS. The IRS also, most of the agents, my understanding is, now I don't know if this is still true today, but it was weeks ago, they're not even operating from their offices. So your tax information is on their computer at home. Or you're faxing it to them. Is there somebody there to receive it? I guess so. I was told the other day by a friend of mine who's a tax lawyer that the IRS told them, I'm sorry, we have no one to open up the materials. So now the IRS wants to say any transactions cumulatively over a year that equal $10,000, we have to report. The American Banking Association CEO said, even with the modifications announced today, remember it was 600, now they said 10,000 cumulative, this proposal goes too far by forcing financial institutions to share with the IRS private financial data from millions of customers not suspected of cheating on their taxes, which is the whole point of what this is supposed to be about. Now, Than, it's in Congress right now. What is the status of this legislation?
Well, I think they're trying to sneak it past the American people, Jay, and we're going to have to keep explaining why this change really doesn't appease our concerns. Look, I mean, it's like Congress is forgetting recent history here. I mean, I think about Joe's call just a second ago. Jay, they came after a lot of people who had nothing to hide, and it had a lot of impact, and one of those impact was a chilling of speech. I think just a fear that you're going to be targeted by the IRS would change your activity. The status right now, Jay, Speaker Pelosi has said she wants to consider this bill by October 31st. Now, I will tell you, that's about the fourth time that she set a deadline for consideration of this, so it may not happen by then. But I'll tell you, Jay, this isn't the only mechanism by which they're trying to get the IRS back involved in the lives of everyday Americans. Remember, they're also trying to repeal the Lois Lerner rule, which was a victory we won after those cases you were talking about that said the IRS cannot discriminate. So going back to Joe's call, they might have access to his banking account, and guess what? If they get their way on both of these provisions, they might be able to access his bank account specifically because of his views.
Well, Miles Terry from our senior lawyer, one of our senior lawyers here, said this in a meeting this morning, and he's absolutely right. I mean, Andy, you give the IRS the power to do this, then they're going to start doing offsets to your if you get Medicare, if you get Social Security. You know how they work. I mean, and all of this starts with no probable cause of any violation of any law. Nothing.
Jay, I was an assistant United States attorney for 5 years. I was chief of the criminal division. The FBI is nothing that is feared. The Postal Service is nothing that is feared. The ATF is not feared. The Customs and Immigration is not feared. In that office, the people in the United States fear most of all, dread, loathe, worry about the Internal Revenue Service. That's the organization that is dreaded and feared because the power to tax and the power to snoop on your money is the power to destroy you. That's the organization that is the most feared. This legislation gives the IRS the unfettered opportunity without probable cause, without reasonable suspicion, without anything, to invade a contract between you and a bank and to make a decision whether or not you're going to be audited because the transactions over a period of a year aggregate more than $10,000. And as you pointed out, and I think we've got to make this very, very clear, we're not talking about the cash transaction report where you put $10,000 or more in a bank account or take it out. That's something that was intended to catch drug dealers and criminals who were dealing in cash. This is intended to catch the ordinary citizen. And again, I have to have explained to me, how in the world is this going to catch a tax evader? I don't see that, Jay.
I don't either. And and they said high tax net worth individuals, a cumulative $10,000, that doesn't do it. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is just the IRS getting into your business. Go ahead, Logan, let's take a call.
Yeah, let's go to Carolyn in Idaho on line three. You're on the air, Carolyn.
Hi, Carolyn.
Oh, so appreciate all you do for us and giving us a chance to voice. I just want to make a comment. On a ranch where we have like seven or so pickups, we got about 5 to 6 tractors, two slothers. When we fill up the gas and the diesel, one of it, like about three, maybe four times a year, is around $10,000 a batch.
Yeah.
And if you have parts, you got to go out, and every once in a while, they're going to hit like right on $600 once in a while.
Sure.
And this is absolutely ridiculous.
No, Carolyn, I'm glad you called, because this is exactly what Professor Hutchison was talking about. He used groceries as an example, but you're a rancher. Gas makes perfect sense, too. So you got diesel trucks, Harry. You know, she said $600. There's diesel fuel is expensive. You got to use it. They've got repairs. This puts them right in the middle of their business.
Absolutely.
Their farm.
Absolutely. So if you think about all of the farmers, all of the ranchers are in the United States, virtually every single month, some of them are expending $5,000 or $10,000 on equipment, on fuel, and other necessary items. And they will now be subject to regulation by the IRS. And keep in mind, in the back of the Green New Deal is a proposal that is floating, but it's not yet been announced, to crack down, for instance, on farmers, to crack down on cattle ranchers. And one of the ways of doing that is to empower the IRS to go after certain transactions that are seen as quote-unquote evil by individuals like AOC, Elizabeth Warren, or whomever. And so I think at the end of the day, every single American should take this IRS proposal seriously, and they should be energized to talk to their representatives, because this needs to be blocked. It needs to be stopped. Proposal needs to end.
Dan, you put in our chat here that we also, why would we trust their description of anything? But let's talk about that, and we only got a minute here, and what we need to be doing. Then we'll talk about mobilizing in a moment.
Yeah, so far they're just talking about it, Jay, and we've learned this lesson so many times. When it actually gets down to drafting the legislation, a lot of times their description do not match what gets into the law. So we're going to have to watch whether even what they're describing now, as bad as it is what ends up there. But Jay, the other thing I would say is, no matter where they land, no matter the amount or the criteria, why in the world, at this moment, after the track record of abuse, would we give the IRS any more power? I would suggest to you there's no appropriate amount or criteria to add to this.
Yeah, I've said they're institutionally incapable of self-correcting, so let's give them more power, Joe Biden. I mean, really? But so we can deal with them by fax machine. Maybe, you know, communications next will be, you know, two Dixie cups and a string. Remember that? Yeah, that's what it'll be. All right, we got a lot more ahead. Mike Pompeo is joining us. He's got a little tweet out on Joe Biden wanting to weaponize the IRS. We're going to get into that with Mike when we come back.
Yeah, and a few lines are still open. 1-800-684-3110, taking all your calls. We got another half hour coming up. If you don't get it on your local radio station, find us broadcasting live on social media and on ACLJ.org.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged. now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
All right, so you remember about 2 weeks ago we had a hearing, maybe three, that the IRS was saying any transaction over $600, the IRS was going to get a report from your bank so they could look at what you're spending your money on? There was a little, I mean, I didn't know if it was going to get much attention or not. We had this hearing. It got a lot of attention. And then we talked about it on air, and it got even more attention. And other people started talking about it. And we said it's unconstitutional. There's no probable cause, no warrant. Well, they said, okay, we're not going to do $600. We're going to do $10,000. Well, it's not really $10,000. It's $10,000 over the course of a year, which is basically $800 instead of $600. You realize that? I mean, when you do the math, okay, they've changed nothing. They tried to think, well, the $10,000 cash withdrawal report that the IRS gets from banks, if you take out more than $10,000, which, by the way, as I said, was put in place in 1970, the value of that today, if they would have modified the law, which of course they don't, would have been $70,000. We are weaponizing the IRS. We are giving them unfettered control. They have no probable cause. You haven't committed a crime, but they're just going to look at what you're spending your money on, including the rancher that just called us or the guy that had a business that was a faith-based business. And we know they don't only show hostility to this. They put that hostility in writing. That's how they deal with this. So we're taking your calls and comments on this. Mike Pompeo is going to be joining us on it. He's just sent out a tweet that said, Joe Biden wants to weaponize the IRS in order to spy on your bank account. But by the way, that's the absolute truth. But you know when you go spy on somebody, you usually have to get a warrant. Right, Andy? A little probable cause if you're going to get a FISA warrant or a domestic spy warrant.
Well, you used to have to get probable cause to get a FISA warrant, but apparently under the Obama administration, you didn't have to do that anymore. You can just go in and make statements, and you don't have to have probable cause. But in the days that I worked for the government, you had to have probable cause in order for the government to look into your affairs. This IRS measure that is being now floated and that we need to really suppress, it would give the IRS the unfettered discretion to look into your everyday life in your bank accounts and see what you're doing so that they can then just check up on you. This is unconstitutional at its base.
You're right.
All right, let's go ahead and jump to the calls real quick. Let's go to Adela in Tennessee on line 4. You're on the air, Adele.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes, great. Go ahead.
Calling from Tennessee. My quick question is, one, they shouldn't be doing it, whether it's $6, $600,
right,
$10,000, $10 million, whatever. But if they are going to do it, and we know that they're tricksters and they're going to push through, then we have to add to this clause, or whatever you want to call it, that we, as American citizens, get to see the bank balances of all these unelected bureaucrats, as well as members of Congress and their staff, as well as members of this administration and their staff. Because if they're going to be looking at our accounts, then why don't we get to look at theirs?
You know, and of course, there'll be all the, you know, it's like Congress, they get exempt from everything, right? I mean, you're exactly right, Adela, by the way. They get exempt, they pass a law, they're not they pass a health care, you've got a mandatory Obamacare, except for Congress.
Absolutely. So I think Adela is absolutely correct that we should be able to see every single transaction that Elizabeth Warren, who lives in a house that's worth at least $2 million, makes every single year. So every time she goes to the cleaners, perhaps, we should be able to take a peek. And so I think before this proposal gets inflicted on the American people, let's have 5 years worth of investigation of every single congressman and woman, and let the New York Post go through it and basically let us know what's going on with their transactions. Then they might back off in terms of going after every American citizen.
Or let's not let this bill become law. That's what I think the fight is. Stand, we got a chance to beat this back congressionally.
100%, Jay, but the American people have to say they're not going to stand for this.
Okay, I want to tell our team right now, here's an announcement. I want to petition up on this. I want to bombard Capitol Hill with this information. I want to make sure we've got legal briefs ready to go to challenge this, Andy. We got to get on this. We're on it. You can rest assured. We're not going to let this bill become law. We're going to fight back. This is IRS abuse at best. It could be much worse.
All right, we'll be back. Phone lines are jammed right now. They may open up at 1-800-684-3110. Also, Mike Pompeo joining us coming up. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 800-684-3110. So the IRS, with a hearing I testified at House Ways and Means just a couple weeks ago with the $600 reporting requirement from your bank to the IRS, they said, oh, we'll move it to $10,000. Well, it's not really $10,000. It's $10,000 cumulatively, which meant they moved it from $600 to $800. With no probable cause, with no suspicion that you've done something wrong, they're just going to have to, you know, banks are going to have to report this. By the way, the banking associations are not so happy about it. Nor is our senior counsel for global affairs, Mike Pompeo. Because, Mike, you put out a tweet about yesterday. Joe Biden wants to weaponize the IRS in order to spy on your bank account. And that's precisely what he is trying to do.
It's great to be with you, Jay. You all at ACLJ have been all over this for years. I witnessed it personally when I was a member of Congress now 6-7 years ago. I watched the IRS go after conservative groups. This is more of the same. This is taking a tool of governmental power and using it in a way that is just immoral and deeply inconsistent with our Constitution. We got to stop what they're trying to do here. They'll be taking when you put those kinds of limits on, you're talking about 90%+ of Americans who have bank accounts will be subject to IRS scrutiny in ways that will be looking for political activity, that will be looking for the kinds of things that we do in our family life. It's just so it's such a great risk.
Unreal.
Hand this to bureaucrats that we got to stop it, and now's the moment.
Yeah, you know, Mike, we had on a caller just a few minutes ago from, I think it was Idaho, that is a rancher, and they said that, you know, their fuel bill for their diesel trucks, that they have the 5 trucks on their ranch, was about $600 a month, a little bit more, and if you add the parts to it. So she said, so they're going to be looking at my fuel bills and my equipment expenditures for my ranch without audit authority. There's no reason for an audit here. That's just, we're just going to have them look at it. And you're right. We're going to, if this somehow gets through the Senate, which I can't imagine, but you know, you never know. We are going to fight back aggressively because there's no constitutional protection for any American citizen here, Mike. I mean, nothing.
It's what you said in your opening comments. There's no prerequisite to this. This is olly oxen free. This is just look, if you have a few spare moments, they can stare at just about anyone. The fuel example is perfect. Someone who has a mortgage or a rental property, you can imagine millions of Americans who will be subject to a random IRS auditor saying, I think I'm going to go take a look at Smith or Jones or Sally today. And you can be sure that bureaucracy will be weaponized by an administration that is progressive and is looking for things that people are doing to protect their family, protect their religious freedom, and take their basic fundamental rights seriously.
I mean, I think about this case that was just handled where as soon as the Biden administration got in, they went right back to the targeting, putting in their determination letters. You believe the word of God is a factor in your ministry, in your organization. We think you're not entitled to tax exempt status. I mean, it's crazy. And no warrants. I mean, I want to pivot to Israel for a second here. But, Andy, the lack of problem, Mike just brought this up. He's right. No constitutional protections at all whatsoever in this.
No, there's none. You just go in and snoop and start looking. Look, the Constitution of the United States says that the people of the United States shall be free from unreasonable searches and seizures, and that the only time the government can stick their nose in our business is if there's probable cause to believe that criminal activity is afoot and they go to a magistrate or a judicial officer and get a warrant. Okay? That's what the Constitution says. The Constitution has said that since 1789. Now, where in the world are we going here? We're giving the Internal Revenue Service, the scariest agency of the federal government, unfettered authority to aggregate everything you do in a year to $10,000 and then look at your lifestyle, look where you donate, look where you give your money. That's not right.
No, we're gonna fight back on this. All right, Mike, you just came back from Israel, of course, as Secretary of State. You did what a tremendous job, and I just want to say that again. Thank you for all of us for the unbelievable changes that we saw in the Middle East. I was there for the moving of the opening of the embassy in Jerusalem. You just got back. You got a great piece up at aclj.org called Unwavering American Support for Israel is Key to Middle East Peace. You just got back, and a lot's changed since the last year with the new administration. What's your sense of how the Israelis are feeling about the relationship right now?
Yeah, so as there are obviously outliers, but the vast majority of senior Israelis in government, in out of government, just ordinary people are very worried about the relationship with the United States and Israel. They watched Democrats refuse to underwrite Iron Dome, and then they flipped the next day, right? So a simple task of helping protect ordinary Israeli citizens, and frankly, all the Americans who are in Israel every day, protect themselves from Iranian rocket fire from the Gaza Strip. They watched, within a couple weeks of this administration taking office, they watched the rockets a fire from the Gaza Strip, and the United States issued a press release saying, can't we all just get along, essentially. They ultimately came and said Israel had the right to protect itself, but it was tepid at best. Yep. They're very worried about this. And now they watched a special envoy, Rob Malley, sitting in Vienna talking about, well, maybe we just have to live with an Iranian leader, Ibrahim Raisi, a butcher. Maybe we just have to live with them having a nuclear weapon, and they grow concerned, and they recognize that they may well have to address these issues in a way that doesn't have the full-throated support of the United States. That's just dangerous for the region and for the world.
It really is, and I know that the current finance minister, Avigdor Lieberman is what they call him there, Lieberman has been concerned about Iran. He's been concerned about Iran since 2013. I remember having conversations with him about that. The Iranian threat, as you just mentioned, the kind of the acquiescence that the current administration is saying, basically, well, they're going to probably get nuclear weapons, and we're going to have to live with it. The truth of the matter is, Israel cannot live with it.
No, Jay, Israel can't live with it, and it's not just the ability to use it, the risk that they'll actually use a nuclear weapon. It's the coercive power that comes alongside of that, and the Emiratis, the Saudis, the Bahrainis. The Egyptians, all of them would live under the threat of an Iranian regime that would say, if you don't do what we would like you to do, then we're going to use this tool. No, it'll be unacceptable. The Israelis will be forced to take action, as they have done so many times before, to defend their right, the Jewish homeland. And they'll have the right to do that. They'll have the ability to effectuate it, I believe. But in the end, if they had American support, we could protect them from having to make those very difficult decisions and risk a real big conflict in the Middle East. America's relationship with Israel and the Abraham Accords combined isolated Iran and made the world more peaceful and more prosperous. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right, and I really appreciate your efforts on that. And I was thrilled with that. I was there when the Golan Heights Declaration was signed by President Trump, and it was an unbelievable day. Let me say this to our video team. If you could find the statement from John Kerry, where he talked about Israel had to make a choice. They can't be both a Jewish state and a democratic state. I want to play that for our audience in a moment here. Will, let me know when we have it. But, you just were over there, and I go there a lot. We have an office in Jerusalem. And the fact of the matter is, This is the most democratic state in the region. It's the only place where you could practice religion freely. It's a civil society, liberal in the proper sense. It's the freedoms that are not recognized in most of the other neighbors, even though the neighbors are getting better. And I will say the neighbors are getting better as far on these issues. But people don't understand that Israel, the little land of Israel, is really the shining beacon of democracy.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. It has been since 1948. When I traveled this last trip, I had the chance to go visit Shiloh, a famous biblical site, the site of the first temple. It reminds you of the power of the tribes and the Jewish people and the great things that they have done for that region for an awfully long time, long predating the state of Israel in the late 1940s. They still are a pillar of democracy and peace, of religious freedom. They're the model that we can only hope expands in the region.
Let me play this bite from another Secretary of State, John Kerry, because I think this one sums up the drastic differences and why we've got to really keep our eye on the situation in the Middle East.
But here is a fundamental reality. If the choice is one state, Israel can either be Jewish or democratic. It cannot be both. And it won't ever really be at peace.
You know, this idea that you can't be a Jewish state and a democratic state is ridiculous. I mean, I find it personally, actually, Mike, offensive.
Yeah, it's offensive. It's anti-Semitic. It's so deeply troubling. This is the model that Secretary Kerry traveled the world carrying with him each place that he went. It has as the predicate, and you know the history here, Jay, it has as a predicate that Israel is an occupying force.
Yep.
Right, that they are wrongly occupying this special holy land. That's just fundamentally untrue. We talked about that a great deal. He is deeply anti-Zionist. It gets at the core, and it's not far from the things that you would hear people like AOC say.
You're right.
Right? It's not far from what you would hear the Squad say about the Jewish people, and that they are somehow wrong to have their own rightful Jewish homeland in the state of Israel. We know that. We know the importance of Jerusalem. It's a city of peace. And then the Israelis have been in that place, in that special place in Israel. People have had the capacity to practice each and every faith. And that's important for people to keep in mind. They are not an occupying force in the state of Israel.
You're right. I appreciate it, Mike. Thanks for the update. Thanks for your insight on both the IRS situation and Israel. I've got a book, by the way, folks, called Jerusalem, that tracks all of the history of the Jewish existence in the state of Israel, which is now the state of Israel, but in that land of Israel.
Yeah, you can find that wherever you want to get books. You can find it there. Hey, if you're on hold right now, I know a lot of you have been on hold for half hour plus.
We're going to do it.
The next segment. We're going to take as many of these calls as possible.
Can we take some during this next
break? Not during the break. I don't think we pull that off. But we'll do it during this next segment, and we'll get to you. So stay on hold. Make sure you're there and ready to go, because we're getting through these as fast as we can to try to get as many of you on air as possible. So, again, support the work of the ACLJ. And thanks to, obviously, Mike Pompeo and the great voices. And check out their great blogs and work at ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Back to Secula. We're going to take as many calls as we can in this final segment of the show for the today. Oh, go ahead.
I've got a fun. This is just. Then we'll take the calls. We're going to get right to the calls. So, a good friend of ours, Ted Groves, a great lawyer, sends me a text during the break. Here's a listing of job openings, Andy, Harry, and everybody that the IRS has right now. They're looking for tax examining clerks. They're looking for tax examining technicians. They're also hiring in their. They're hiring an appraiser and a general engineer and a financial analyst. But you realize what we're learning is most of these people are working at home. So don't worry, your tax information is being faxed, I guess, to their house. I have no idea. I mean, I have no idea if that's correct, but they want everything by fax. But it just tells you how absurd this whole thing is. And by the way, for them to you were saying it's $600 or $10,000. It's a dollar because they have to look at your account to make the determination if you reach the $10,000 over the course of a year expenditure. So, of course, they're in your account. This has to not become law.
All right, let's get to the phone calls. Let's start. We'll go in his order if they came in. Let's go to Larry in Ohio. Behold, 40 minutes, Larry. Appreciate it.
Well, we need to send him our book on Undemocratic, which is about the IRS abuse. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, my question's dealing with charge cards.
Yep.
We end up putting everything each month, including our donation to you guys, yep, onto our credit card and then paying it off. So I'm doing $3,000 a month to pay off that credit card. 4 months, I've got the $10,000, so
right,
that's going to count towards this nonsense?
No, everything will count. Yes, 100%. The payment to whatever credit card company you're using, of course, Harry, which is like the grocery bill.
Absolutely. So Larry's analysis is spot on, and basically that is precisely the point of this proposal by the Democrats.
Exactly.
They want to know whatever you are doing every single day, every single hour, and basically if they get this law passed, they will likely go even further. They'll drop it down to $600, perhaps even a year.
All right, let's keep going. Let's go to Floyd, who's calling online too. Floyd, you're on the air.
Hi, Jay. Grateful for you and your team.
Thanks.
I am 68 years old. Yep. I just retired 9 weeks ago.
Okay.
I will be receiving a check from Social Security,
yeah,
deposited in my account for $2,000 every month.
Right.
So whether it's $600 or $10,000, I'm going to be a target of the IRS, and that concerns
me. Well, let
me
ask you this. Do you buy groceries every month?
Oh, yes.
Do you put gas in your car?
Yes.
Of course you're a target. And so they may exempt, they said, income that's Social Security, but it is both inflow and outflow, so it's both. But what they're doing, and you got to understand this, is, and this came really to the last caller's point, Will pointed this out, and it's a good point. So when they can't see what you spend it on, if you're using your credit card, that's when they'll say, oh, we need to audit you. So in the case with your situation, Floyd, with the Social Security, they may exempt, as a review item, Social Security inflow, but they're not exempting the outflow. Thus, you're still subject to this. And again, Andy, really quickly, you're subject to it without any warrant whatsoever. But no reason.
No, just absolutely at the whim of the Internal Revenue Service, the scariest agency in the federal government. If they decide that they're going to look at you, they look at you based upon this law. No warrant, no probable cause, just snooping.
All right, let's keep going. Let's go to Joshua, who's calling on line 5. Joshua from Montana, you're on the air.
Hey, Joshua.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm an Army veteran and a,
yep,
small business owner, and I own my own little small computer repair shop. I'm a,
yep,
one-man operation.
Yep.
And this whole IRS thing really has some big concerns for me, because aside from what I pay in rent as an individual, I've also got expenses as a small business owner. And I think back to last year when small shops like mine were told, well, you can't be open. And it just makes me wonder if something like this,
yeah,
is just a more means of control like they did last year.
Well, I think it can be even worse than. I mean, part of the problem here, and this is why we got to, and then we need to let people know we're fighting this on Capitol Hill. I mean, this is not, I mean, obviously we've already testified. This became I was going to say that hearing has gotten an awful lot of attention. But what is the status? Because that's a great issue. You got a Joshua's issue. It's a small business, which is basically the backbone of the American economy. And they're all going to be subject to this, as most Americans will be. But what is this legislative status of this right now?
Well, the legislative status is it's being negotiated behind closed doors. That's the honest truth, Jay. It's not being brought to the floor yet. They're trying to work it out between the progressives and the moderates. And just very quickly, I would add to the caller's concern, I mean, he's going to have a harder time finding employees, too, because they say income's going to be exempt. But in addition to what you said, Jay, that when you spend that income, it triggers this provision. Also, what is income? Is it just full-time jobs? Is it part-time jobs? Is it crypto transfers, Venmo transfers, PayPal transfers? Logan talked about the gig economy. Jay, where is the line going to be? And we don't know that yet.
Yeah, we definitely don't know. And I think a lot of people are concerned about that. Let's go to Ruth, who's calling in Pennsylvania on line six. Ruth, you're on the air.
Yeah, I do have a question. The IRS questioned our income in 2019.
Yep.
Said that we weren't making enough money to pay our mortgage, even though we get tax-exempt money from the government.
Yep.
So they actually audited us, and we had to prove where the money was coming in because they didn't believe us. So I'm just wondering how they even knew what our mortgage was.
Yeah. So here's why. Because your bank, Andy, this is what happens. The bank is reporting the mortgage deduction to the IRS. That's already part of it. So that's how they knew that.
Yeah, of course. The bank had the reporting requirement, and that's how they do it. But this is, again, we have a contract with the bank between us and our bank to have a bank account, and that's not the government's business to interject itself in that based upon this law. I just don't think that constitutionally it passes the test.
I don't think so either. I want to see if we can do two calls in 2 minutes.
Yeah, let's try. Let's go to Darcy in Pennsylvania quickly. Line two or three. Thanks. You're on the air.
Hey, Darcy, go.
Hi there. Yep. If Biden weaponizes the IRS,
yes, he already has.
We can call it weapons of mass destruction.
Well, it certainly could be weapons of havoc, because I will tell you that already communicating with the IRS is basically back into the 1940s. I mean, I guess they didn't have fax machines then. I'll say 1980s. It's absurd. It's an agency that's out of control. They can't self-correct. And the problem is that this does increase their involvement in your life. That is the biggest problem here.
All right, Lillian, line four. You're
on
the air.
We're going to do this. All right, Lillian, your last call of the day, you're on.
First of all, you guys are warriors. Where does it stand with the Lerner rule? When they attacked those people in Texas for the Christian belief?
Yeah, we handled that case.
Okay, you had mentioned there was also somewhere in the Biden writings, and I'm not sure whether it was S1 or whatever.
Yeah, no, exactly, in S1. And it was an attempt to undo what was called the Lerner rule, which is you can't have this targeting because of beliefs and thoughts. There was an attempt to get rid of that rule.
Yeah, you can't target based on viewpoints. It was signed into law by President Trump in 2018. HR1 and S1, the elections bill, Jay, the proposal in there is to repeal that rule. Jay, they just brought that up in the United States Senate again this week.
Yep.
Republicans stopped it for now, but they're still trying to push it through.
So let me tell you this, folks. We are fighting this on all fronts, legislatively, administratively, over the airwaves. We've already got attention on this. I want some blogs up on this issue today, and that will get worked on that'll be up at least by this weekend. And if this does become law, and we're going to fight in the halls of Congress to it not to be, we will challenge it. There is no, as Andy said earlier, Mike Pompeo said, and Harry, there is no constitutional basis for this. There is no probable cause for this. Enough, Logan?
That's going to do it for today's show. Appreciate everyone who's watched, shared. Make sure you continue to do that, because people watch on re-air. Share it. Tell people about this show. It's a really special episode. Appreciate all of you who called in. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. Not only can you go and support financially, which we obviously greatly appreciate, you can also read and watch incredible content from the best media team in the country. So you can find that at aclj.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.